the big V word, it feels like a lot is riding on that in your life at the moment. You know, people are working on it, but you're hearing it could be 12 months, 18 months away. But is there another option? Is a COVID-19 vaccine the only medical way to fight this virus? The short answer is no. For the long answer, I found a Hunter Medical Research Institute researcher to talk you through that. Associate Professor Nathan Bartlett, good morning.
Good morning, Claire. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, tell me, firstly, why do we hear so much around vaccines when it comes to something like COVID-19?
Well, over the long term, vaccines are going to be what provides broad community-based protection. And so they're extremely important for the, as I said, the long-term strategy to control and essentially live with this virus. Mm. But that's really the long-term game. In the short term, we're still going to be seeing infections occur, and obviously they need to be treated.
As this started happen, this global pandemic, how quickly did you realise that you needed to switch your attention to focus on this?
Oh, well, I've been interested in respiratory viruses for most of my career, and I've understood that they pose an ongoing, major problem for human health. It was only a matter of time before something like SARS-CoV-2 emerged and caused the pandemic we're now seeing. So, I've been aware of this medical research need for quite a while. So we had a lot of the tools already in place so that we could very quickly pivot to focus on studying SARS-CoV-2 and development of treatment approaches.
Mm. So you're looking more at an antiviral treatment. What does that mean for someone me who's not medical?
It can mean lots of things. And it's really, there are multiple approaches that could be used in addition to a vaccine that would provide both protection as well as treat active infections. And so, the classical definition of an antiviral is a drug that directly inhibits the capacity of the virus to replicate. So they normally inhibit or interfere with the processes the virus needs to access in order to reproduce itself and spread. So that's a classic antiviral. These are usually small drugs, inhibitors that block key viral proteins that the virus uses to reproduce itself. So they're certainly one approach that's being investigated intensely at the moment. But there are also other ways you can interfere with the virus's capacity to replicate. You can modify the capacity of the host, of us, to respond to the virus. So we can do that by boosting our immune system, and we're looking at approaches that do that. But we can also look at the cellular processes that the virus needs. Viruses are intracellular parasites, and they need host or our cell processes in order to replicate. And so we can, if we understand what cellular processes the viruses use and we can modify those cellular processes, we can also interfere and potentially block the capacity of the virus to replicate and spread.
Yeah. When you get a new virus like this, is it like starting from scratch? You know that these base things work, but you don't quite know how it's going to respond with this virus?
That's, we have some ideas and we can take guidance from other related viruses, particularly around the cellular processes, because a lot of these cellular processes are the same and used by multiple different types of viruses. So we can automatically begin to focus our attention on some of these understood cellular processes and use drugs that are available that have been shown to be effective against other viruses that target these cellular processes. So we do have a very, substantial wealth of knowledge around these that we can then begin to start testing specifically against SARS-CoV-2.
How do you even test that when, let's say, in the early days, even now, there's still a lot we don't know about the virus, there's maybe not access to samples? How does that all work from your perspective, Nathan?
Well, there are models we can use. So we can use related coronaviruses. All coronaviruses use the same strategy to replicate. And so we can use some of these less pathogenic coronaviruses, which circulate every year through the community. And we can test these approaches against those coronaviruses and have a really good sense that they would work against SARS-CoV-2, which is just a variant, really, on these commonly circulating coronaviruses, and essentially is it's very similar in the way it replicates.
Mm. So how's it going? Where are you up to? What can you tell us?
Well, Well, we're testing a number of approaches using our various less pathogenic coronaviruses, and we're starting to see some interesting results. I can't really divulge much more than that at the moment.
No, I thought that might be the case.
yeah, but certainly we are trying a lot of different approaches, and you know, we're reasonably optimistic that one, if not more, will show signs of being effective, and thereby be able to move them forward to test against SARS-CoV-2 directly.
Yeah, and I imagine that you're not the only one doing this as well. How are people communicating around the world as everyone's trying to answer the same question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been one of the success stories, if you want to look for a silver lining in this pandemic, has been the way that the medical research community has banded together. Even the politicians have actually shown some unity as well in helping us through this. But it's been especially evident with medical research and very open sharing of data. I mean, we had the sequence, the genetic sequence for SARS-CoV-2 uploaded and available for all research very quickly after it was isolated in China. So, and that's really been indicative of the collegial and collaborative spirit with which the global research community has embraced tackling this viral challenge.
It's 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock. You're on ABC Newcastle Mornings. You're hearing from Associate Professor Nathan Bartlett from the Hunter Medical Research Institute. We're talking a little bit about other treatments beyond a vaccine to COVID-19. Now, we have been hearing about other drugs, mostly out of the US, that may or may not work. You're doing a little bit of work around this with cancer drugs. Tell us about that, Nathan.
Yeah, so there's been a large focus on what we call repurposed drugs. So these are drugs that have already been approved for clinical use for other indications, other diseases. So they've been through the regulatory processes, approval processes that are quite involved and take a long time. So this using repurposed drugs enables us to very quickly move a drug into a clinical trial for COVID-19. And so we're looking at other diseases with such drugs that are approved. And one area we've looked at are cancer drugs, and particularly drugs in that space that target growth factor receptors. Like it's easy to imagine that growth factor receptors would be involved in a disease like cancer, where cells grow uncontrollably. But viruses also hijack growth factor receptors in a number of ways to help infect and replicate and spread. And so it is quite sensible to speculate that these growth factor receptor inhibiting drugs that have been approved for cancer might also be effective in the context of COVID-19.
And we know that speeds up some of the process, right? If the drug is already out there, already being used, already being tested, that is a good thing for like the whole process.
Correct. I mean, the big time-consuming component of drug development is really safety and determining that a drug is safe for use in the population. And so this takes a long time. So if a drug has already been through that safety testing and approval process, then that massively speeds up the capacity to get it into a clinical trial.
As a region, as a state, we're sort of counting down the days till Friday when we see some of those restrictions being lifted around New South Wales. But we are still going to have to live in the community with this virus. How have you been working with the Hunter community to make sure that we're in the best position to do that?
Yeah, so on one side, obviously, we have this medical treatment vaccine area of research, but day to day, we're looking at other approaches that are going to make living with this virus, and that's something we're going to have to come to terms with. We're going to have to live with this virus for the foreseeable future. And so things we can implement in our day-to-day lives that make that safer. And so we're working with local businesses that have change their business models to look at development of sanitizers that can be used for hands or for surfaces, materials that you can coat surfaces that are regularly touched by the public, touch screens in various scenarios that have intrinsic antiviral activity. So multiple approaches that you can implement into everyday life that are all going to restrict the capacity of the virus to remain infectious and thereby cause infection in community.
Have people been open to that in the community? They want to do what they can?
Absolutely. I've been inundated is the only way to describe it, with requests to help various businesses test materials, sanitizers, etc. That they think will be useful for community implementation.
And so, so you're looking at that to see if they are actually effective, like other store-bought stuff?
Yeah, so if it's effective, you know, sort of alcohol-free sanitizers. So we had a big issue with alcohol supply at one point, provides, you know, 70% alcohol for disinfectant. So the supply chain for that can be quite unpredictable. So, you know, alcohol-free sanitizer options are a real focus at the moment as well. And plus that, you know, alcohol on hands over extended use can be quite damaging too. So we are looking at other approaches that could be implemented in everyday life that people would be happy to use on a regular basis and would be, you know, safe and not irritating.
As you said, Nathan, as a virologist, this is something that you think about quite often, this sort of hypothetical global pandemic. Now that you're living through it, working through it, is it what you expected?
Is it what I expected? That's hard to answer. Yeah, I guess. I suppose. I mean, I guess we're fortunate to live in a country like Australia where we've been able to implement, you know, some of the social distancing and other lockdown-related rules that have been very effective in containing spreads. So I think for us it's been a very different experience to say what it's currently like in the US or Britain or Europe. So I'd be very, you know, it'd be very interesting to talk to my colleagues abroad over the next few months to share our, you know, relative experiences in this.
Yeah. Nathan, always great to catch up. Thank you. Best of luck with the work that you're doing.
Thanks, Kaya. Great to talk.
Associate Professor Nathan Bartlett there. He's a virologist with the Hunter Medical Research Institute, talking you through some of the other options that are being looked at when it comes to treatment, prevention of COVID-19.